Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today on The Brian Lehrer Show, the Obama strategy for avoiding the media and why the White House press corps is up in arms. The president's new science project to map the human brain. Have you heard this yet? We'll talk to one of the researchers involved. Former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright today, plus more samples from the new Dictionary of American Idioms. Today we'll focus on relatively new idioms and how our clothing reflects our identity. All coming up right after I remind you that this is day three of our first membership drive of 2013, and I hope you all donate something to help us run the radio station. You can do it anytime today at WNYC.org or call 1-888-376-WNYC. Thanks for considering it. And an extra incentive this morning, if you pledge by noon, you'll automatically be entered to win a $4,000 Apple computer shopping spree at TechServe. MacBooks, iPads, accessories, whatever Apple things you can stuff in your shopping cart, up to $4,000 worth if you're the lucky winner. That's in effect until noon. Everybody who's pledged earlier and all our sustainers are automatically in. And if you call by noon, 1-888-376-WNYC, you can enter 1-888-376-9692. And we hope you'll also pledge, or you can do it at WNYC.org. And thanks for your support. We'll come back to more on that later, but you can do it right now, we hope. Now, Glenn Thrush, White House reporter for Politico, with the White House press corps up in arms this week over lack of access to the president. Hi, Glenn. Welcome back to WNYC.
Great to be here.
I know you'll insist this is not about golf, but the trigger for this revolt was something about Obama playing golf with Tiger Woods. And here's an exchange between one White House press corps reporter and the White House spokesman Jay Carney from the other day.
The events of this weekend make you rethink the level of transparency within this administration. And
can we, you mean the events of this weekend, the fact the president wanted to play golf with a golf pro?
That you got in the wake of not just what happened this weekend, but also some of the meetings that haven't been read out to the press as of later that we haven't been made aware of in advance.
Well, yeah, you would have to be more specific about the question on the issue of this weekend. I mean, the president had some downtime, was playing golf. I understand that there was a desire to have access or a photograph of that, but the president did provide you the first official confirmation of that event.
Jay Carney, White House press secretary. So, Glenn Thrush from Politico, what exactly happened this weekend?
Well, what happened this weekend is President Obama did an off-the-record, essentially what amounted to an off-the-record round of golf with Tiger Woods. But, Brian, I don't give a damn about Tiger Woods, and I don't care about the visuals. I mean, to me, if you want to talk about an incident that I think is much more noteworthy, it is his use of the White House press corps as a prop when he walks into, for instance, the briefing room and delivers a statement which is fundamentally, a 30-second advertisement for whatever he happens to be pushing at the moment, and the reporters sit there mute while the cameras click away, and then he turns around without answering a question. I don't care about Tiger Woods. I don't even want to talk about it. I think the larger issue is whether or not this president is responsive to questions from people who follow him day to day. And he's made a decision, which is very smart strategically, to keep away from the national press because we ask him tough questions and give him lousy visuals.
And I see that two of your colleagues on Politico wrote up in detail how the president avoids taking questions from reporters at moments like the one you just described compared to past presidents. For example, one stat that you published, President Bush held 355 brief press availabilities in his first term, Obama just 107, less than a third. So what does that tell you?
Well, look, you know, Brian, as you know, I worked at Newsday, and I covered Mayors Giuliani and Bloomberg. And neither of those two gentlemen, with all due respect, would be regarded as universally press-friendly. But you got to crack at them two, three times a week. This is a president who doesn't make himself available to the national press. And I should differentiate. Yesterday, he did seven or eight interviews with local media, anchors of local media. You know, that is a well-worn strategy from the Clinton administration. They tend to ask, in most instances, I don't want to sort of paint with too broad a brush, but they tend to ask softer questions, and they don't have necessarily the day-to-day working knowledge of the dynamic that's going on in Washington.
Right.
And it has the added advantage of giving Obama access to areas of the country that he wants to. So, you know,
that was a remarkable stat in the article too. That as he does this local media tour around the country, 674. Local media interviews compared with 217 for President Bush in his first term. But given that, can the White House press corps really say Obama avoids reporters' questions, or just that he avoids your questions and you don't like it?
No, you're absolutely right. Yes, he avoids our questions and we don't like it. But there's a reason why news organizations, Politico, New York Times, Washington Post, assign people to cover the White House, assign knowledgeable people to cover the White House. It's because this is we have a certain level of continuity in terms of understanding and context. And part of our function is to hold him accountable on some things. I can tell you that, you know, I don't think we have gotten an opportunity as a press corps to ask him, for instance, about the drone policy. You know, he doesn't, I wouldn't say that he ducks the press universally, obviously he doesn't, but he looks for situations that are more comfortable to him personally and ones that pose fewer hazards in terms of bad optics.
I want to ask you more about the drone thing. I may get to ask former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright about it later on the show, but it's been reported that President Obama has been I'm looking for my notes on this. They're holding back information from Congress about drones requested in connection with John Brennan's nomination for CIA director. Now, this is a much more serious area of lack of transparency than Tiger Woods' photo, obviously. The New York Times reports today that the White House won't release drone strike legal memos. But I wonder if our country is conducting assassinations without trial, even of U.S. citizens, shouldn't they at least make public the arguments about the legal basis of that?
And remember, that stuff came out under pressure, I believe, through congressional investigations in the latter part of the Bush administration, with respect to to enhanced interrogation and stuff like that. You know, these memos are extraordinarily important in terms of understanding the way that this is done. And so far, under this administration, you know, most of the information that we've seen, NBC and the New York Times have published stuff that's been leaked from informants inside the administration. Look, on the prima facie, Obama and his team claims to be the most transparent administration in U.S. history, and on some level they have been, for instance, on the stimulus. But they have not been any more transparent than prior administrations on issues of national security.
And, you know, this has been going on since I started in national news during Reagan. The press complained mightily about his L.A. public relations guys who came with Reagan from California,
right,
stage-managed a theme of the day and protected him from real questions and agendas generated by journalists. They lamented it was nothing like the good old days of JFK. Ha! Then people
right.
said Clinton's PR machine was like nothing they had ever seen, and they lamented the good old days of Reagan. We all complained about the unaccountable Bush administration, God knows, just a few years ago, and here we are again. So it makes me wonder, either because I don't work in Washington, I've never experienced this myself, should I take with a grain of salt all these tears like, oh, this is unprecedented, here we go again? Or is it actually becoming worse and worse with each successive president and less of a democracy in that respect?
I think it's the latter, and again, let me just tell you, I talk to these guys every single day, and you know, I would say by and large, reporters have a good relationship with the staffers in the White House, and the Obama administration comms shop, the communication shop, for instance, is a lot easier to deal with than some prior administrations. But that said, you know, politicians care about winning, and they care about right now. President Obama is engaged in really sort of almost a life or death struggle with Capitol Hill over some of these spending issues, and and he is playing the outside game. He needs to marshal public opinion on his side, and as we see from Bloomberg poll yesterday, he's up to 55% national approval. So he is playing the game in a very steely kind of way. And unfortunately for those of us in sort of the mainstream national press who get paid to hold him accountable, that means running around us. And let me tell you, our lousy approval ratings, the fact that we are below lawyers and and corrupt police officers in terms of our overall approval as an institution, journalists, doesn't help us, and the White House uses that against us too.
And I should say, a central thesis of the Politico article from the other day is that the constant conservative complaints that Obama and the press corps have a cozy relationship because they're all liberal is wrong. Do you support that thesis?
Oh, absolutely. It's you know, it may have existed, and there was a certain genre of semi-fiction, semi-campaign fiction that came out of the 2008 campaign of sort of these clawing positive profiles of Obama, but those have dissipated a long time ago. I'd say it really hasn't had that sort of relationship since late 2009.
By the way, Bill McKibben, the environmental activist who led the anti-global warming rally in Washington on Sunday, was here this week, and he said, you know, the president also played golf with an oil executive over the weekend, not just Tiger Woods, which had environmentalists concerned about that cozy relationship. Do you know if that person was in the same party with Obama and Woods?
I don't. I didn't pay that much attention to that. I mean, I've written a bunch of golf stories about Obama, and to me, one of the more interesting ones is his really close friend Robert Wolf, who's a former UBS banking executive. He took some flack on that. Look, Brian, I got to be honest with you. I don't care about the golf stuff. I don't care about who he decides to talk with. In fact, you can argue that he doesn't talk to nearly as many folks in the business community as prior presidents. What I think is an emerging trend is the insularity of this White House and their reluctance to give up information after running in 2008, particularly on a platform of transparency and disclosure post-Bush. I think they have not lived up to that and have really regarded this relationship. Again, I understand the strategic imperative here in a pretty cynical way.
One other thing before you go, I want to turn the page and ask about the article that you just posted on Politico today, which is about why the president is going all in on Chuck Hagel, despite Hagel's apparent weaknesses in various respects, especially after his confirmation hearing, and his political weaknesses with the Republicans in the Senate, which is supposed to be one of his political strengths. So what's the bottom line as to why Obama is so invested in this nominee?
Two simple reasons. The first is he doesn't necessarily want a really powerful defense secretary in the form, of the ilk of Leon Panetta, a guy who really understands these institutions and knows how to maneuver in them. Obama had just appointed Dennis McDonough, a national security type, as his chief of staff. He wants to centralize control of defense strategy and also defense cutting in the White House, and Hagel's a good emissary on that. And the second factor is the Susan Rice factor. Nothing in recent history has made Obama quite as angry as the way Susan Rice was treated, and he's intent on not having a second one of his friends, and he regards Hagel as one of his friends go down in that way.
It now looks like Hagel will get confirmed next week, by the way, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So then how do you think, we just have 30 seconds, but I'm curious how you think he will then try to make his first real mark as Secretary of Defense. Any indication?
No, and Hagel's a real wild card. If the past is prologue, what I would say the White House is likely to coach Hagel to do, as Panetta did, was to do some gestures to endear himself to the Pentagon bureaucracy, because if he doesn't win over that building, he's toast.
Glenn Thrush covers the White House for Politico. Thanks a lot, Glenn. I really appreciate it.
Take care, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, we will look at some of the science behind what you might call President Obama's new science project. He wants to make a big national push to map the human brain. Stay with us.